Let's get started. We'll just hit a rock. Hopefully, we'll be joining us shortly if he's available. But again, welcome to Laws and Rules. Really excited to chair this committee going forward. Big shoes to fill. Tracy's pretty impressive, especially as chair of this committee. So I'm going to try my best, but very grateful for the turnover. To have Legislator Gavaris, Legislator Ronk, Legislator Roberts, and the new addition of Legislator Levine to the committee. So if it's okay with you all, we'll get started. We have a few people that are going to present tonight that we're going to move ahead of the agenda. But to get going, can I get a motion to approve the committee meetings for December 9th, 20th, and the 21st of December as a block?
I'll make that motion.
Second.
All in favor of the block?
Aye.
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 Then going forward, let's go to, so first, I just asked the Board of Elections to join us under the purview of this committee to give us an update on the move from the current position. So I see we have Ashley on, is John and John on. So Commissioner Dittus and Commissioner Quigley, if you guys could just give us a little bit of an update on how the move's going, and also if you want to speak. Commissioner Dittus or Commissioner Quigley?
Sorry, I lost you there at the end, but I think I got the gist that you're looking for an update pretty much for the move and everything else that we're going to be going forward with this year.
Yep.
So current timetable for the move, after having met, we meet weekly every Wednesday, 9 a.m. over at the Daily Freeman Building to check in with the development team that's building out the space. They are on track for end of May, which becomes a bit of that window where we can't move due to the prep for the primary. So we have been working diligently to see what we can do to potentially move that window up. Otherwise, we will be doing a half and half move where we'll have to move half before slash during that window and the other half after the primary election. Things are going pretty smooth there. I know they had some supply chain issues, and now it seems like things are better at the moment. And we're looking forward to the new space. It's just being able to see we're going to be laying out all of our equipment and mapping it on a layout has been tremendous to see that we'll have the room to grow should we have to take on additional functions. And speaking of growing, we are thankful for the two new employees that were approved in last year's budget. One of those has already started this past week. This was her first week. And I believe Ashley is in search for her new person still. And once they're added, they'll be right in the mix going into a primary season that will be pretty busy, anticipating a lot of countywide primaries.
Thank you. And Commissioner Dittus, do you have anything to add to that? Seeing that, do folks mind if we move resolution?
Hi, Chairman Heppner, can you hear me now?
Yep.
Okay, I was having some issues with Zoom.
That's right. I'm making yourself available.
Doing some things tonight, but I would just say on the subject of the office, we do go every Wednesday. So if any members of this committee are interested in meeting us, it is at 9 o'clock in the morning, but happy to have people come and see the progress. It is amazing from week to week how much they are getting done. So we are very excited. We're starting to plot out what different areas will serve to give us better functionality. There's obviously a lot of changes that have been ongoing, and this year is no exception with counting absentee ballots before Election Day. So we are knowing that it's giving us a lot of ability to plan out. So we're both really looking forward to going into the new space, hopefully sooner than later, but supply chains have been sort of delaying things as we go.
Thank you. And again, thank you both Commissioner Quigley and Commissioner Didis for making yourself available. Does anyone have any questions?
Make a motion to postpone the 14th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All right, so next I'm gonna ask if the committee is okay. We're gonna move up the late resolution. So Dr. Smith and the team can speak on that.
I'll move it for discussion.
Second by Leader Ronk, moved by Legislator Ronk, second by Legislator Guevaras. Anyone have anything to speak on?
I would like to just start, and then I'll hand it over to Haley to do the presentation.
Yep, please go ahead.
Thank you. So, hi everyone. My name is Joanna Contreras. I'm a deputy county executive for Health and Human Services. We also have Dr. Smith here, who's our health commissioner, and Haley Carr, who's a representative from the medical examiner's office. She has a really short 5-minute presentation about the office, but I just wanted to give a quick overview of our resolution. In short, we're proposing to hire a new full-time death scene investigator. This would be the second full-time person in the office. The reason that we put this forth as a late resolution is that we're facing an urgent coverage issue for death scene investigations. So basically our chief medical examiner retired in the beginning of January unexpectedly. And he had been taking on the bulk of death scene investigation coverage, ranging from 60 hours a week to 90 hours a week, depending on the week. And we need to backfill that position, but we haven't had any interest with those coverage expectations. And in the meantime, we're starting to get complaints that we're not getting to the death scenes in a timely manner. So that's why we're proposing to create this full-time position that's not an MD to take on some of that coverage in a more cost-effective way. So I'm gonna turn it over to Haley really quickly to do the presentation, and then we can take any questions that you all have.
Could the host please give me screen sharing capabilities, please?
Clark Mahler should be doing that right now.
You're good on my end.
Okay. All right. Can everyone see my screen now?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. All right. So my name is Haley Carr. I am the deputy medical examiner and the medical legal death investigator for the county. I am here on behalf of our office, as Ms. Contreras already said, to hopefully promote the addition of one new position to our team. Our office is a 24/7, 365-day operation. We are mandated by both state and county law. We are a science-based, independent investigative agency, and our primary purpose is to establish how and why someone has died. This is how our office is currently structured. All of our morgue facilities and morgue staff are through a contracted agency. So I'm primarily going to be focused on the left branch here, which is under the Department of Health, This is our administrative and investigative branches. The Department of Health is, of course, overseen by Dr. Smith, the commissioner. And then we have the medical examiner, which up until last month was Dr. Heller, who is now retired, and his two deputies, Dr. Stutt and Dr. Grovenberg, who are part-time employees. And the three of them rotated nights, weekends, and holiday coverage. And then myself, the full-time death investigator, I'm in charge for 9-to-5 business day operations, as well as all of the administrative tasks that come up during the day and any death calls that happen during that time. Every year we bring in somewhere between 100 and 200 cases for autopsy. This number is very limited by the amount of resources that we have. We currently only have 14 positions open to hold a decedent at any given time, which means that we have about 6 positions over at Health Alliance and then another few over in Mary's Avenue campus. So our morgue space is quite limited. And because we share that space with the inpatient deaths at the hospital, we receive constant pressure from them to be continually moving our cases through to make space for more decedents. Now, that being said, our morgue staff have other obligations, so we're quite limited on what days we can actually conduct autopsies. We currently do them 3 days a week, given the staff that we currently have. But at the same time, we receive hundreds of referrals every single year. It's much higher than this 199 cases you see here for 2021. But unfortunately, due to the current resources we have, we're only able to bring in about 200 of them. But our office is handling hundreds of calls every year. When we receive a death notification, this is the series of steps that we typically take to conduct that scene investigation start to finish. Unfortunately, due to the lack of staff, there are some tasks, especially towards the end of a case, or if we decide to release a case from our jurisdiction, that ultimately fall on the police departments that are co-working on these cases with us. So when we can't complete these tasks, it falls to them. And this puts an undue burden on the police force and can create friction between our agencies. Following the scene investigation, these are all of the things that I do during business hours on every single case that comes through this office. The tasks that I have highlighted in red are the ones that are probably the most time consuming. Each one of these cases can take up at least half a day, if not more, of my time. And for example, on Monday, we had 5 cases. So not only was I dealing with all of this for each one of those cases, but I'm also handling all the other administrative tasks during the day and also taking additional death calls. And a lot of these tasks can only be performed during business hours, since a lot of them involve calling facilities and families. So in addition to this, as I mentioned previously, I'm also responsible for all of the administrative duties for the office. This includes phone calls. I get calls all day long from many, many people, and it's never consistent about the time calls I'm going to get. These very easily take up hours of my time, as well as requests for autopsy reports, data entry, any keeping we want to do for the office usually falls on me, and then anything else that comes in that's case specific. There are tons of other tasks I'd love to be able to do that I think would be beneficial for the county. I've only had time to be involved in just a handful of these, specifically the HEAL study, working with the State Department and Ellenville Regional on opioid fatality prevention. This has been my primary focus over the past year, but there are many, many other places where our office could be contributing, and we simply don't have the resources at this time to do that. Our office gives answers to families on what's usually the worst day of their lives. And we provide very important statistical data that can impact legislation and how resources are allocated. I've been reached out to by the HEAL study many times asking questions about where do we put Nalox boxes? Should we have Nalox boxes? What about Narcan kits? Where are they going to be the most useful and the most cost effective? We also provide scientific evidence to support every case in this county that ultimately goes to trial, whether that's civil or criminal. So as we mentioned at the beginning here, we are looking to add one additional staff member to our team just to replace the staff member who retired in January. And I do hope you guys will all consider this proposal. And I thank you so much for your time and letting me come speak to you tonight. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else from your team? Dr. Smith, I don't know if you had more to the presentation, or should we take questions from the committee members?
That's your choice. You know, Legislator Heppner, all that I could say is that because of the late notice that we got with respect to the Chief ME's retirement, effective January 2nd, this has created the need to fill this position on a more urgent basis, as opposed to going through the budget cycle on a perhaps more regular basis. You know, the I think the thing that Haley did a very comprehensive review, but I think the thing to underscore is that, you know, the significant need to cover 24/7, 365 days a week is one of the most pressing needs in this particular situation. The county cannot be without a medical examiner to respond to calls at any time of the day or night, or weekday or weekend. And this is probably the one of the most important factors right now in our need to hopefully have some decision regarding whether or not adding this particular position would be acceptable to the legislature under late resolution. Again, we apologize for the late resolution, but again, the circumstance that brought us here, the retirement in January, led to us having to make this plea. Thank you.
Thank you, Commissioner Smith. And thank you, Haley, and thank you, Deputy Executive Contreras. I know you've been making the rounds trying to get the information out on this. To that, I believe, Leader Ronk, did you have your hand up?
Yeah, thank you. Sorry, I've had to jump on and off. I've got a little disabled ambulance problem right now, but we're working on it. So I want to make the committee aware. I'm not going to belabor the point. You know, I obviously feel differently about this than a lot of folks do. You know, this isn't a question of whether or not, you know, we need to hire a new chief medical examiner. I believe that we need to hire a new chief to replace Dr. Heller, whether we hire this additional position or not. Is that correct, Dr. Smith?
Legislator Rock, at the present time, one of the deputy MEs has stepped into as acting chief ME position. That's Dr. Stutt. The finalization of the decision as to chief ME moving forward would have to be determined. But you're correct in that, you know, there is someone at least managing the acting ME role.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, but my point is there. I feel as if in you know, Haley's presentation, it sounded as if it could be interpreted that we were not going to have to hire a new chief medical examiner or another deputy chief. You know, that this would be not an additional position. That this is regardless of how you look at it, this is an additional $71,000 plus benefits. Is that accurate?
Who are you addressing, Legislator Rock, myself or Joanna? Or
Yes. The answer is yes. Yes.
Okay. You know, regardless, if you want me, you know, Joanna, do you want me to address you with all the questions and you can pass them on to Dr. Smith? It really doesn't matter to me.
Sure, that's fine.
Okay, so I can tell the committee that I reached out to the assistant county executive in Dutchess County, and Dutchess County just brought their services in-house. They used a contract out for it. I believe they used a 1099, but they brought them in-house, and they have two death scene investigators at $47,000 a piece. That's what they do. And now we're going to have multiple, you know, $70,000 deputy medical examiners doing that work. You know, I understand how, you know, on-call time works. It sounds as if to me we're trying to farm out the on-call time to somebody other than the chief medical examiner, to make it easier to hire a chief medical examiner, because the chief medical examiner's candidates are not interested in doing this work, you know, and having to be on call. Is that relatively accurate?
Yeah, so the interest that we've gotten so far in the medical examiner position is only in the administrative aspects of the role for the salary that it's at. And we definitely agree with you. And I think we said this in the Health and Human Services Committee as well, that there will need to be a broader conversation about the Office of the Medical Examiner and our staffing model. What salaries we're paying, you know, offering, especially for the chief medical examiner and the other positions, because it's possible that things need to be adjusted in general, because the coverage is not working. So yes, but I think that your point about the salaries being lower for the deputy medical legal investigators in Dutchess County is well taken. But I think that their salary for their chief medical examiner is much higher. And they also have a couple of other, as far as we understand it, other doctors that are on their staff full-time that are paid much higher as well. So our overall structure is just not comparable right now. So that's what I would.
Yeah, I understand. What I'll tell you is that, you know, I think the time to look at the overall structure is before we hire a new staff member who's fully benefited and at a relatively high salary. I'm going to be a no at this time. I'm sure that the rest of the committee, it seems like I'm the one who's got the real problem with this. I apologize. I have to jump off and fix my ambulance, but I will. I'll speak to y'all soon.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leader Ronk. Anyone else? Haley, was that your hand?
Yes, I just wanted to jump in real quick, just to discuss the Dutchess medical examiner layout, since I am familiar with them, just as a point of clarification. The Dutchess County ME has been a long time in the making. I am very familiar with their staff over there. They're excellent folks. In fact, one of their medical examiners comes and does work for us when Dr. Katniss is unavailable. Just to kind of give a very brief overview of the way their office is situated, they have two pathologists performing autopsies on a daily basis, as well as a morgue attendant. And they have the two death investigators who, yes, do receive the salary Legislator Ronk mentioned. They also have a chief investigator, Bob Brady. He makes, my understanding is, somewhere around $149,000 a year, which is, again, very long time in the making. His role is very, very similar to mine, and he has faced a lot of the same struggles that I have since coming into this position. He also has an administrative person on his team as well, and they also have a team of interns that come in. So they do receive a lot more help than we have here in Ulster. I just wanted to touch on that.
Thank you. So on the resolution number 95, I'll call the vote. All in favor? Aye.
Yes, for tonight, but Joanna and I are still gonna have follow-up conversations, but I will vote yes for tonight.
So all in favor, aye?
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
So the resolution passes. Moving on now to resolution number 57, establishing capital project number 621, voting system replacement, Board of Elections.
Motion.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Thank you. Any comments? With that, I'll call the question. All in favor?
Aye.
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 Seeing none, passes unanimously. Moving on to resolution number 8, proclaiming the 26th of November as Sojourner Truth Day.
I'm moved.
I'll second.
Any comments, questions on the resolution?
Jonathan?
Yep, please go ahead, Legislator Roberts.
If the sponsor doesn't mind, I'd like to add my name to it too.
Yep, Clerk Mahler, if you could make a note for that. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Moving on, resolution number 9, appointing Chairwoman Tracy Bartels as the Ulster County Legislature's member to serve on the County Jury Board.
Moved.
Second.
On the resolution?
Aye.
Opposed? Seeing none, passes unanimously. Resolution number 16, this is setting a public hearing on the proposed local law number 2. This is the ethics law.
So moved.
Can I get a motion to move it for discussion?
So moved.
Second, Jonathan.
Thank you. So I'm gonna ask that the committee postpone this, but also with the commitment that working with Clerk Mahler, we'll set up a time later this month after session to have a special meeting to kind of to finalize this and get this done and proposed to our colleagues in the legislature.
Postpone.
Before we do that, I also believe we have Council Gucci on, if he wants to give an update.
Sure, I'm happy to. Can you hear me okay?
Yep, thank you.
Okay, very good. So, as I'm sure the committee is aware, we've had a subcommittee meet and discuss the proposed local law for purposes of going through it meticulously to perhaps come up with some improved language in certain sections that we've flagged throughout the course of the law's existence. Minority Counsel Pascal and I have worked together to come up with some additional language, and in fact, I just received before our meeting today the most recent draft that we've worked on collaboratively, and I would expect that we would be able to come to a conclusion to the process and have a fully revised local law by the end of our next meeting.
Thank you, Deputy Executive Ryder.
Can I just ask that maybe the county attorney and counsel, Rigucci and Gordon, get together? I'd be happy to sit in. I just still have concern regarding the nomination and appointment process and just would like to hear legislative counsel's, Section 808 of General Municipal Law, Article 18 specifically says that in a county executive form of government, the county executive appoints all board members and they're confirmed by the legislature. So I think that for us on the executive's office is going to be the major sticking point. And if we could come to some kind of resolve before the next meeting, I think, you know, you could have potential agreement as long as we're just working, you know, moving forward. And be happy to, you know, sit down and have you, Jonathan, or whoever in that meeting as well. I just, you know, we're at an impasse there.
Leader Hebner, may I respond?
Yeah, please go ahead.
Okay. Deputy Ryder, thank you for the comments. And with the consent of the chair, I'd be happy to forward to you the most recent draft that we've been working on so you can see the language and we can all be operating off the same document. And of course, with the inclusion of minority counsel, of course, including Dave Gordon and myself, I'd be happy to meet with you and go through it with, of course, the county attorney.
Thank you. So Jay and I will work together to reach out to all of you to coordinate a meeting, and we'll respond back to that. So on that, Legislator Gavaris, do you want to make the motion to postpone? Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you. All in favor of the postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
Postponed unanimously. So now move on to resolution number 17, setting a public hearing for proposed local law number 3, a local law amending local law number 6 of 2021, a local law requiring the payment of a living wage to employees of contractors and subcontractors that provides services to Ulster County in relation to living wage for social and human services, to be held on Tuesday, March 15, 2022 at 7:20 p.m. Can I have a motion for discussion?
For discussion.
Second?
Second.
Thank you. Any discussion? Legislator Roberts, then Legislator Guevara's. You're on mute, Legislator Roberts.
Thank you for your time, sir. I know traditionally we're supposed to speak on the validity of this going to a public hearing and not about the law itself, but I do have a couple of questions. We're going to raise the living wage from 15 to 20. Has anybody talked to the contractors or subcontractors to see what that is going to do to their budget? What is this? How is this going to affect the county budget? Who has to pay more? And how did you come up with the $20 number? I mean, just today, the inflation numbers came out and it was 7.5%, the highest in 40 years. Does this $20 an hour reflect that status?
Is that a direct question to, so we do have one of
the Deputy County Executive Ryder's here. Maybe he knows some of the answers to that.
So he's not the sponsor of the.
Yeah, I don't.
But Legislator Petit, I see you just joined us. Welcome.
I did join. Thank you.
Would you like to speak to any of those questions from Legislator?
Yeah. So Legislator Roberts, the living wage in Ulster County would be closer to 26 an hour for somebody to be able to afford to live and work here. It was increased 25% to make it to bring it up closer to what our employees are getting paid and to the cost of living here. It has been postponed in committee. We are looking at some of the impacts that some of our contractors have said it's causing in their budgets. We have not gotten that information. We've asked for it. So in this committee as well, we'd be willing to postpone. But for instance, we have a family contract where it was raised $150,000 and they're saying $60,000 of that was due to the $15 increase. And that's only $2 an hour. It's sad that we contract out and we expect people with bachelor's degrees to work for minimum wage at $13.20. It's not sustainable within Ulster County. But we will have those numbers for you. The other sponsor is Joe Maloney, and we'll get those for you at the next meeting.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Legislator Petit. Legislator Guevara's?
I'm actually going to say the same thing because this came up in Ways and Means, and I'm also going to make the motion to postpone it as well. There's still information that was requested by Ways and Means as well, which will not be there for the meeting next week, it doesn't sound like so.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
On the postponement?
Aye.
Aye.
So the postponement passes unanimously. Moving on to
Chairman Heppner.
Yep.
I am not sure if Cheryl Schneider has her hand up, wants to speak.
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't see that. Ms. Schneider, would you like to speak?
Hi, thank you. This has come up now, the third meeting. It would be really, really helpful if people were specific as to what data they're looking for. So when we talk about how many people impacted, are we talking about FTEs? Are we talking about the actual number of people who fill those FTE positions? Can we work with deputy executive writer to come up with those numbers? Is that a possibility? I mean, I would love to hear what legislators say the actual metrics are, because it makes it a lot easier to come up with those metrics. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Gavaris.
I think the issue is that we saw contracts come back to us last year after we raised to the 15, and those numbers were dramatically higher than the previous contracts. Now, there's some discrepancy as to whether or not those were impacted because of this, the hourly increase, or it was an increase because of other reasons. There's different versions going around. So that's why I know it always means that was one of the questions that came up is this truly some of these contracts doubled in cost after the increase. Is it a result of the $2 an hour, or is it a result of other factors, but it just happened to be coincidentally at the same time? That's the information that was requested and that's hopefully what we will be able to get.
Thank you. Deputy Executive Ryder.
Just, I will say that today we got a request from legislative staff, Natalie Kelder, on the contracts that would be affected by this local law. In the first run, I have contract management just doing a quick report. It looks like there's over 300 contracts that fit under the broad category of social services and human services contracts. That's over 7 departments and over 300 contracts. So that's where we're looking. It's going to take some time for us to get that information, and then legislative, you know, financial analysis will do the actual analysis on what the cost will be. We're providing the contracts that will be affected.
Thank you. Seeing no other hands, we can move on to resolution number 24, confirming the reappointment of a member to the Ulster County Board of Ethics. I believe that this is Dr. Jerry Benjamin. Can I have a motion?
Motion.
Second?
Second.
On the resolution?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
I'm a no.
So that passes 3-1. And then, so that concludes our agenda as for now. Just for folks to recognize, resolution number 15, that was postponed in energy, environment, and sustainability. This is resolution number 15. Please review. If you have any questions, please reach out to the sponsors. Otherwise, I'll open it up to any old business or new business at this point. Legislator Gavaris.
To adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I'll second that.
All right, thank you. So, thank you for a good meeting, and have a great night.
Thank you.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you.